Jung. Jung, yeah. Jung, my goodness, those are the days. Good morning, everybody. How are we? Are we well? Just want to remind you that we're in a safe place. We've whatever's going on out there doesn't go on in here. We're going to be blessed this morning. The title of my word this morning is Nobody Knows But You and God. And I want to talk about what I'd call our inside life. You know, if you'd have probably seen me 2 hours ago, I didn't look like this. I had my dressing gown on, I still had a bit of a growth that I needed to, you know. So it's that type of sort of situation, that the real us, that I want to talk about this morning. In order to do that, I want to use an example from the Bible, and I need to give you just a bit of background to sort of set you up to that. So we're going to look at the role of the Holy Spirit and how he empowers our lives from the inside. This includes his work with Jesus when Jesus was on earth. So the first scripture, it's in Luke 2, verse 40. And here we read about Jesus. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So up until Jesus was about 30 years old, Bible scholars would suggest that none of the Gospels explicitly state that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, we read about the Spirit of the Lord resting on him, but not actually being filled with the Spirit. So, when was Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit? We move on to Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. And here, we're told, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So this is the point where Jesus received the Holy Spirit, and so began his ministry. So it's important to set out the background, because we need to understand what followed. Up to that point, Jesus was a man, and according to Scripture, as it said, that he was, as a child, he had wisdom and the grace of God was on him. So, Jesus met a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, asked her for a drink, because he'd got nothing he could draw the water with. And she said, "How can you ask me? You're a Jew." Jews and Samaritans didn't mix in those days. And he talked about the living water. So in John 4, verses 13 to 14, we read, "Everyone who drinks this well water," as he was talking about, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life." So you can see now Jesus has moved from being sort of Jesus the man to Jesus in the ministry. So later, as we're going through the story, he asked the woman to call her husband. And she said, "I've got no husband." And he said, "Well, you're right in saying that, because you've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now isn't your husband." But how could Jesus know this? He'd never met her before. He didn't know any of her friends. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't on Facebook. So there was no way that Jesus could have known this. The only way he could have known this is through the Spirit. So what knowledge did Jesus have then? How did he get that knowledge? So there was a number of ways that we sort of get knowledge. One of them is like things that you're told. So maybe if I was to ask Andrew, who's the best goal scorer, Andrew? Hoyland. Yeah, he plays for United. That's who you meant. Hoyland, did you say? Or Haaland. Oh, he wants the City one. So I know that now because somebody's told me. So I now have knowledge because somebody's told me. When I was a little lad, about 11, Neil Armstrong landed on the moon. So I have that knowledge because of my memory. There's things I can remember from before. embarrassing for me, this. I used to play in a tennis club at Staley Bridge, and being a person that likes to get involved, I was the captain of the team. So I'd gone up early because we had a match that night. And as you can imagine, when there's 12 players playing, that's a lot of hot water for a shower. So so I'd gone in there, and it was the old days when you had, the tank was huge, you know. And I thought, oh, I need to know if there's any hot water. So what did I do? I just see if there's any hot water. My DNA is still on the tank up at the tennis club. It honestly felt, you only get chewing gum in the summer. It almost felt like that. And I'm sure I've lost some in my fingerprint. So part of our knowledge is what you can get through touch. In my experience, it was also through pain. Now, you'd be pleased to know there are 8 Greek words in the New Testament for knowledge. I'm not going to tell you what they are. But the reason I know this is because Jed kindly lent me a book and it said it in there. So you can learn by reading as well. So there's a number of ways we can know things. But none of these ways applied to what Jesus knew about this Samaritan woman. He didn't have any previous knowledge of her. He didn't have a memory of her. There was nothing about him that he knew her. So he knew her because the Holy Spirit told him he had a word of knowledge that he could not have ordinarily known. And you remember the back end of last year, the start of this year, Sue Moore told us about when she'd been praying for a particular person and God had said to her, you need to go meet them. And Sue's like, right, okay, but where do I go? And God directed her to a certain place, and that person was there. Now, that was a word of knowledge. The information, she couldn't find it on SatNav or anywhere. That clearly came from the Lord. So in John 4, verses 25 to 26, it says, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And so to complete the story, so that you'll know what happened at the end, in verses 28 and 29, it says, so leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, knew all about this woman. And she started the day just looking for water, but ended the day telling people about Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing, that no matter how your day will start, it can end completely different with the introduction of the Holy Spirit. So what we want to know is, that's the message that we've got from the New Testament and the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. So what does it tell us today? How well does God know us? In Psalm 139 it says, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. And the older I get, I could do with his help with that, because sometimes you don't know the word that's coming out. You're like, oh, what's it? I really could do help with that. So we know God knows us inside out. And what we do on the outside, he knows. And what we think and believe on the inside, he knows. What about, though, your inside life? There are things you have thought or have done. Nobody knows but you and God. And some have been positive. Maybe you've given financial aid to somebody or helped the church out financially. Maybe you've spent some time with people in need, and maybe you've been helping others in different ways, things that nobody knows but you and God. So you should have a warm feeling inside, knowing that you've pleased God. Could you feel the fire of the Spirit burning in you? Acknowledging that that is a truth, so you're acknowledging that that is something of a life experience for you, not to boast, but to glorify God. And also, again, going back to Lisa a few weeks ago, she sort of spoke about heaven and gave us information about that. And I know a lot of people are still talking about it because it was such a real revelation to people. And for Sue, when she was telling us sort of about how, as I say, she met this woman in the car park and how God had led her there and how she's got a new love for God and how she's finding out new things all the time. And obviously Mark then is up here preaching most weeks and he's teaching us and he's telling us about God. What they're not saying is look at me. What they are saying is look at God in me. Because they just want you to know that God is there for you and that he's leading the church and he's giving you ministry. That's important that you know you can live a good Christian life. And okay, yeah, there are negative things. There's things like yielding to temptation, ignoring people in need, doing things you know you shouldn't, things nobody knows but you and God. But don't let them overcome you. Because as Ashley will tell you, if you get knocked down, you get back up again. And that's what you've got to do. Sometimes life will bring things to you where you feel, you know, you've been sort of laid low. But the glory of having God in your life and having the Holy Spirit, you get back up again and you overcome. One of the negative things I was thinking about, and again, it's obviously use an example from your life, thinking bad about others. My very good friend, Andy Moores, he bought me a cup. He's very good like that. And on it said, Mike Smug. I thought, Smug? Well, I mean, I knew what he was getting at. Mike Smug? Well, I've known this guy for over 45 years. Why all of a sudden would he think I was smug? And I said, well, maybe sometimes I can be a bit, what's he said this for? So I kept chunnering, as you do. Finally had a cup of tea out of it, and I'm there, and I'm washing it away, like, you know. And it was a particular mark, you know, and you get those marks, you just can't get them off. And what I realised was there was an apostrophe between the E of Mike and the S of smug. So it actually said, Mike's mug. It was a statement of ownership, not a statement of my personality, which I thought it was. So I told Andy about it, and he just said, what apostrophe? So I had to learn then that sometimes things happen in your life, or even people in church might cross you a little bit, and you can go off and be all chunnery and but sometimes you might just have got the wrong end of the stick. And again, that's one of the things where we settle ourselves down and we just get into prayer and say, oh Lord, what happened there? And then you just let him explain sort of what's gone on. And the part of the word, obviously, that I'd sort of discuss with you is about sort of when the judgment day comes and there's those things that we'll have done that will have pleased God, and there's those things that have done that maybe didn't. But the joy for us is that because we give our lives over to God and because our sins have been forgiven, that that will be a good day. We've got a good day to look forward to. If you've lived your life as best you can with God at the centre of it, then you'll have your sins forgiven. And by asking the Holy Spirit into your life, you will have the power to overcome. So be free to enjoy your life. It's the best one you can live. It's easy sometimes. You turn the telly on and you see some guy in a mansion with 27 rooms and he's got his own swimming pool and whatever. And there's like a human jealousy. But from people I know who have moved from being non-Christians to being Christians, one of the things that they say is, I found peace. Another thing they'll tell you is they found joy, because there's an emptiness in the things of the world, and you don't want them. So be encouraged to live the best life you can for God, and don't be hard on yourself, because that's what we do. It's just part of who we are. We're always hard on ourselves. So what I'd like you to do, if possible now, is if you can just, where you are, if you feel comfortable, sort of closing your eyes. I just want to finish with a few thoughts about sort of how the inside should feel like. I want to try and give you a picture of what should be going on. So if I can ask you to say to close your eyes, if Steve can do the...